This is How Men Think with Brooks Like and Gavin DeGraw, an iHeartRadio podcast.
This is How Men Think, and this is Amy, Tori, and Danielle, and we have taken over the show because Brooks and Gavin are traveling. They will be back next week, don't worry. But we have come up with something that no one has seen, and we're doing what we call a crossover episode. So Tori, Danielle, and I also produce Intimate Knowledge with Brooke Burke and Megan King Edmonds. And they are going to do the exact same thing that you guys are about to do, and they don't know what's happening either. We are going to ask you 15 pretty wild questions about sex, and we need you guys to give totally true answers so we can learn the male perspective. And then the Intimate Knowledge ladies are going to do the exact same questions so we can understand how women think. What do you guys think?
Can we block my mom's subscription to the podcast before we answer these?
Your mom doesn't listen. You're fine. Okay. Yeah, we love it. Let's do it.
I'm in. Let's go.
So we have had Brooke, Megan, and Leela, the hosts of Intimate Knowledge, ask you guys the questions, and you will do the same for them. So after you listen to this episode, click over to Intimate Knowledge, and you can hear the ladies' perspective. So are you guys ready?
We're ready. Of course.
Ladies, take it away.
Hi, boys. It's the girls from Intimate Knowledge, and it's about to get real. It's Brooke.
It's Megan.
And I'm sex and intimacy coach Leela DeVille.
Here we go. First question, who taught you the most about sex and how to please a partner?
I would have to say that would be, I guess that would be, to be honest, I think I kind of learned as I went. So I think I'd have to give credit to anybody that I had been with. I think I took a little bit of knowledge along the way. It's not like someone just blessed me with the knowledge of how to please a partner. I think I had to build up to that.
I'll step in here a little bit. I think it had to do with like you hanging out talking to your buddies, and like he hooked up with a girl and what did he do and how did you do it and all that kind of stuff, and you hear stories and guys are just hanging out talking, and then like what Dimitri's saying is your personal experience by taking those stories, or maybe it's some watching a movie, you know, what is James Bond doing with his hands while he's kissing what's her name. I'm just saying.
Wow, that got me going. Yeah. I think it was my best friend Andrew. He deemed himself the quote unquote clit commander. And I'm just being real. And so he was the master at finding it, and I was curious where that was back in the day, and still am now, to be honest with you. But he was like the master of anatomy. Like he was like studying the vagina and knew everything about like where the cervix was, and you don't want to hit the cervix, and the clitoris is here, and the labia, this is what you got to do here. And he was like a freaking surgeon. He was ahead of his time. Andrew,
what's his name and email?
How many times do you want to be intimate each week?
3.
5.
I'd say 3. Yeah,
intimate meaning having sex. Intimate could be other things, but yeah, if we're talking about just straight sex, then yeah, 3 to 4. I think 3 to 4.
Yeah, but we're talking 7 day, right? Not work week. So yeah, I mean 5 is fine.
But I've told you before, it's got to fit in with like I can't just have woken up because then I got to go to the bathroom, and then I can't be hungry because then I can't have sex, and then I can't have just eaten because I'm full. And
Wait, we're not planning this for you. This was just how often do you want to eat? Scheduling is on your own.
I'm telling you, there's a 30-minute window in every day, so it's tougher
need 30 minutes. Go. What's next, ladies?
What's your naughtiest sexual fantasy?
Oh, God. I mean, these are tough.
They're not something that you can just immediately come up with off the top of
this,
your head,
this
Amy.
Is the point of the whole show, guys.
Plus, you're also talking to guys that have been married for 15 years. I think we've given up on the idea of naughty fantasies.
Fuck. I mean, I would say, yeah, laying on a beach with 2 chicks. But, yeah, I mean, that's sandy. I mean, come on. Like, no. Going back to the air conditioning hotel room.
I mean, there's something to be said about, you know, doing it somewhere where you could get caught, but, you know, maybe, you know, ducking away at a cocktail party or something.
Yeah, I think the public thing in a, like, an address, changing room or something where you're in public and you're not supposed to be doing that. Initially you say to yourself, like, the threesome thing in theory sounds good, but the again, the guilt you would have with that process would be crippling
not
to even, me.
That's a lot. No, dude, to worry
no, okay,
about,
okay. Here, you got a bed. You got two amazingly hot chicks. You're standing in the corner, or you're on a chair in the corner. You're kind of doing your thing. You're directing them. You're letting them do their stuff. You're talking about them. You're talking to them. You're telling them what you like. At the same time, you're.
But is your wife one of the two women?
Of course. Of course.
So listen, in all
come on.
He's what's the shaking question? His head
you
no
can't,
as he
you
says
can't
of
ask
course.
Him that. You can't ask him. They said
and then you,
wild
it's
fantasy.
About like and then jumping in with them and direct, you know, and them telling
it
you what they
like
want to see you do.
I have trouble with no conversations way. With three people. Like if there's
we're
three people
right
in a car,
now.
Like if you're in the front seat, you got to turn to keep talking to the I find it's a lot of there's a lot to think
a
about.
A rest
there.
Period. Come on. You got to take a break.
That sounds that's a fantasy.
I would just be I would be stressed at like okay, have I given my wife enough attention here? Like, am I now with this other person? And she like, well,
see,
he looks like he's enjoying this too much. Like, I can't enjoy that too much because then tomorrow when this person goes away, it's back to...
She's going to be like, oh, you really miss her.
Well,
let
me
it's
just
not
tell
worth
you.
That's
it.
Why
let
I don't think you.
You
bring your wife into this.
It's not
when
worth it.
When you're with your
don't
wife in those positions, when you're with your wife in those positions, you've already had the discussion where those feelings or those that scenario does not play out.
No,
you're not thinking about that. And you guys have already figured it out, and you're like, you both want to do it.
The
so,
role,
so you're not like, oh yeah, he's having her better, more fun
right,
with her.
Right, right.
Like that, that's
it.
Gone.
But
got it.
He's so uptight to begin with. I think for wild fantasy, don't make it real. Don't put your wives into this. Just think about they're asking. They asked us, "What's your wildest fantasy?" Now you're making it real, and you're taking away from the fantasy part of it.
The role playing thing, I think, is interesting to me as well. Yeah,
expand
each,
on that.
Each
please.
Of you playing somebody that you're not like. Being something and somebody that you're not is different.
Kind of like she's the cheerleader and you're the guy that the football team picked on and she felt bad for, so she kind of gives you extra attention.
That's unrelatable for
oh.
me.
Sorry.
I couldn't imagine that.
My bad.
Yeah.
What famous person would you want a hall pass to sleep with?
Brooke Burke.
Jesus. Nothing to do with this being a crossover episode, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I always think about that with my wife when we have that conversation we're used to before we had kids, like when we were driving home from Tahoe and we're sitting in traffic, like, okay, who would you bone? Like, who would you want to have sex with? Like Brad Pitt or Leo or whatever. And like, and then like, I'm setting up the question being like, let me tell you who I want to do that with, you know? And then it's like, oh God, Christie Brinkley and all these, you know, I'm just trying to think of right now. I'm thinking about who that would be, but
can I tell you something?
Yeah, please.
So I've done this with
my
wife.
It's a fun game.
And again, this is me being neurotic, I realize, but like in my head, when that question is posed, and we've done this ourselves, and she would say Bill Rancic. And interestingly enough, we ran into Bill Rancic like 4 times at Whole Foods in LA. And I'm like, this is actually a possibility because we've seen this dude now 4 times. Like, so in my head, when she asked me that question, I'll say my wife is tall and blonde. So I'll be like, okay, I need to pick another tall blonde because if I pick a short brunette, then she's going to be like, well, that is the complete opposite of me. So this is screwed. So because I used to think Mila Kunis and Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I'm like, she was unreal, but she's short and brunette, which is the opposite of my wife. And is that going to be weird to pick someone that can be
I like,
the opposite?
Yeah. I like Kate Upton.
Interesting.
She's money.
Hmm. I don't know. Because I get lost in a nostalgia thing, but maybe like a Kate Beckinsale. To be honest, for the first 3 episodes of the show, I thought you were Bill Rancic. So I understand what she's coming from.
It is a random one. Yeah.
During sex, what noises or words get you the most turned on?
Oh, Dimitri.
I think he said, oh, Dimitri, you go first.
I would say like heavy breathing. This feels so good. I love what you're doing to me. Those are the things that start getting you going, and like this feels so good, and me harder, and
there's something.
This is
there's what, something.
What's so funny? I mean,
is it in yet? That's always a good one.
Is it over?
Wake me up when you're finished. I don't know. These are all. They're all close. But.
How comfortable are you with public displays of affection? Explain.
I'm fine with basic stuff, but I don't like it to be. I don't like it to get to a point where it's almost like people are watching me inside my house. Like, if you want to do a kiss or you want to hold hands, it's fine. But I don't want to be grabbed in public. I don't want people seeing and thinking like, oh, I know what goes on. That, to me, that's too much.
Rick?
I don't think like making out in public is totally necessary. I mean, I feel like I'm at the age now where it's not, I don't need to do that. I think holding hands or showing signs of affection in public, that's more attractive now than like, oh yeah, we're going to go on the corner and, you know, and grab a nice kiss. Like that's not, those days are sort of over.
Making out at our age, making out, and you're way older than me, but making out is weird. Like,
it makes other people uncomfortable also. And it's like, I don't like when other people are like groping each other or like making out. And it's like, all right.
I will say like making out makes me super horny.
Interesting.
I knew you guys all wanted
but
to know that.
But not in public.
I will want to say that's kind of what starts the freaking everything.
The one thing
is like, yes,
I get that.
Love that.
The one thing I would say is like, if you, going back to where you would want to have sex in, or in a public place being kind of like, you're not supposed to do it. Like walking in a public place and like grabbing her ass and like looking around to see, did anybody see that, is like a little taste of like, like, is somebody going to see that? What are they going to think? Like, what does she think? It's a little...
Well,
I
like that, but
like.
Not in the sense of someone else seeing, but I like that in the sense of sending a message like, hey, I'm thinking about this right now. And it's kind of like, oh, you know what? Maybe when we get home, we've both been thinking about it this whole time.
Yeah, if we're not hungry or didn't just eat lunch, but yes.
You have to stoke the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
What person from your high school would you want most to booty call you today?
I don't think we can. Woo.
Laura Thompson.
Miss Pisco. Literally my math teacher in 10th grade. She had just graduated from Penn State. And I remember, I was like, how old is she? She looks like she could be my peer. Like, did she? And she came in one day. She's like, sorry, I'm late, guys. I lost my license over the weekend. I'm like, okay. She's like out hitting it hard. Like, lost her license. I'm like, Miss Pisco can teach me the Pythagorean theorem and get down. Like, Miss Pisco. So I don't know where she is.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like probably like most guys, I'd say probably Jeanette Hain. Why did she ask for my number?
Where would you like to have sex besides the bedroom?
Like inside the house or you mean?
Yeah.
Like,
inside the house, outside
anywhere.
The house, in the office. Come on, ladies. A little more detail. The garage is always kind of cool. I mean, like you get
right
out.
By your workbench.
Right.
I'm with you. I mean,
I'm with you on the idea. At the same time.
That's right.
But no, it's like you get out from a date, you pull into the garage. If you're parking your car in the garage and you know, you're walking to the door to get into the house and like think, you know, you kind of like start going right then and there. And
I think there's something to be said.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of sexy. And then you don't need to like finish there. You go in and start going against the wall and then you start. Then you make your way up to the bedroom.
I think there's something to be said about taking a room that's not fun and giving it that kind of spin. So like spin, for instance.
Your kid's room?
No, but if you go like the laundry room, listen, you don't like doing laundry, right? But then every time you go to do laundry, you're like, oh, remember the time we did it in here?
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
To me, it's like it sounds great in theory. Oh, on the dining room table. But it's like that's something that happens in the movies. It's not comfortable.
True.
It hurts.
Pool like, tables like, not comfortable.
Our best sex is like in a nice hotel room when everything is nice and like different, and then I can get into a nice robe afterwards. And
there is something about a hotel room.
Yeah, I'll sit on the porch and smoke a stogie or something.
Yeah,
after
and drink a scotch and go to bed by 8.
What conversation have you been putting off in your relationship?
I mean, just in general, are you guys asking mainly about sex? So, I mean, if we're not talking about sex, I would probably say kind of the future, you know, like what's going to happen when the kids are in college and they're graduating and places like that, you know, and they move on and we're empty nest basically. So like for me, it's 8 years away and I'm already kind of thinking about it. And I grew up in Southern California and I've been visiting here a lot more recently and I'm getting back to see my folks and I'm enjoying where I live and grew up and I really love LA and I love Orange County. And so we recently had a conversation on the way home from one of our during over the holidays. And I was like, hey, like, what do you think is going to happen in 8 years when the kids are in college and we're back here in Oakland? And you know, like, I really like that lifestyle. You know, I chose the worst time to think to talk about it. We were just been on a road trip for like 7 hours and pulling into the garage, you know, and it was like, hey, that was a fun trip. Like, I think I'm going to move down there. She was like, absolutely not. You know, and then we got into like more of the, well, I mean, what about jobs? I'm like, well, I can work anywhere. It doesn't really matter. And you could, you know, hopefully by that time we're in a position where you could, we could figure something out, and or maybe we split the time. And
I know that feeling. Like, you work up, you have this great conversation in your head, and you throw it out at the wrong time. You're like, I just shot that whole thing.
Totally.
Like, now she's never going to take that seriously.
Totally. And I'm serious about it. Like, yeah. I want to live down in Orange County for 6 months out of the year. Why not? Like, I love going on the beach. I love going. And she was like, I love riding my bike on the boardwalk. I love going to the beach and hanging out. And she was like, and I actually appreciate it, was honest. She's like, I don't like that. And I was like, ooh, okay. So do you want to stay in Oakland and keep going to this place and this place and this place and doing that for the next rest of our lives? I'm like, I don't really feel like doing that either. And so thank God we got home and the kids jumped out of the car. And so the conversation ended. But that
the kids were in the car for that?
They had their headphones on.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was, it's
so that's
crazy.
That's if you don't mind me saying, that's a pretty big conversation, because you led off with what happens when the kids are out of the house. So then it's a matter of, have we grown apart? Like, are we different people now? Is there something, do we even have common interests?
I felt like that was sort of like the very tip of that conversation.
Right.
And it's like, what are we going to do when that happens? And I think the other thing I felt at the time was like, have you thought about this? I don't think she's ever thought about that.
Right.
Like, what happens in 8 years? Where I'm like, oh, I'm coming down here. I'm friends with all you guys. I'm hanging out. I'm seeing my folks, my brother, my sister. And it's, I know it's easy to get back and forth, and I don't mind the drive or the flight. It's like, why not do this? Like, life is short. We need to sort of start doing this stuff now. And that, I don't know if that's something that has started to register, and I want it to. I definitely wanted to, and I'm fine with where we live. Like, I obviously I love the area. There's things that I have a great friend base there, and there's things that I do that I enjoy, of course. But I want both.
You know what scares me about that conversation, that thought, is that I get what you said. You said, what conversation do we not have or do we avoid is down the road, right?
Yes.
Because our lives are so busy with the four kids and work and all this, I feel that same way, except it's not even down the road. Like, we don't have conversations about what's coming up in the future. It's basically like, put your head down and get through the day, get through the week. And so we don't have conversations as like what's happened in the summer until we get to like May. Like, so to be honest, it's a bit unsettling because you never discuss the future. And I don't mean necessarily when the kids are gone, because that's a long ways away, but we don't discuss the future at all. It's always just like, let's just get through this. And it's like, well, we just keep getting through stuff.
I feel the exact same way. And with summer coming up now, it's or spring coming on and then summer, it's like, we know what the kids are doing and I want to plan like these other little sidebar trips. And I don't know if that's a part of what she's thinking, you know, even though like, I almost think she thinks I just kind of come up with these ideas. And I'm like, let's drive all the way to Oregon and drop the kids off to camp and fish along the way. Well, like, to me, that sounds incredible. Right. Dimitri and Ryan, you guys are invited.
Of course. Nice. Oh, thanks.
That'd be fun.
Appreciate that.
But, I want her to be thinking about that.
Right. But, and again, that's the conversation you put off.
Yep.
My wife has been, after going through the sickness of our newborn recently, she said, I honestly am at my breaking point. I just need two nights away with like my girlfriends soon, or else I'm going to lose it. And I have been putting that off forever, and I kick that can down the road every time it's brought up, because that stresses me out to no end to think that I'd be home for two nights by myself with the two kids. So I continue to try to put that off.
Do you want me to come over and with the four kids?
No, I don't trust you.
Let me just tell you, you can totally do it.
Thank you for the vote of confidence. It means a lot coming from you, Rick.
Do you enjoy spanking or being spanked?
I don't know. No, I've never been a spank or a spanky. That's really worked. I'm not huge on that type of discipline. I'm not saying no discipline at all, but that I've never gotten to that role. And I don't know.
We're talking about insects.
You don't like slapping that ass, bro?
No, I guess not.
It's so awesome. Like it's just well, see, it's,
but that's the, when I hear not in a, when I hear spanking, I guess I went to role playing. It's like I don't want to pretend like you're a kid. It's basically that's where it gets weird.
No, and
you know what I mean, like spanking, whatever.
But I think in a nice way, as we're having sex and being in the moment, like slapping is totally fine, but as long as you're doing it with the right.
Do you answer the question though? Do you prefer to be the spankee or the spanker?
No, I always like.
I don't think that was the question.
I don't want to get spanked.
No, same here. I want to be always in a dominant role and not being submissive and being spanked. Like, let me run this.
But I will say, if she wants to go and touch other areas that aren't common, then I'm okay with that. So like if she wants to play with my nipples or something like that, mm-hmm. That is a huge turn on. Hmm. I love that.
Hmm. Would you mind if she wants to touch
other areas that may not be, you know, that are super sensitive, that
like where?
Like my
I don't
love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
Okay.
So
keep going.
I just told you guys everything.
And is she okay? Is she into doing that for you because she knows you like it?
Not as much as I would like.
Maybe that's
a conversation I need to have with her.
Yeah, forget it when the kids are out of school, out of the house.
Forget
man.
The next 8 years. I think I need to talk about the now.
Rick wants a little more ass play.
So do you always instigate it by saying verbally to her, can you do this? Or does she ever surprise you in the middle of sex?
Sometimes
it slips in there and you're like, I didn't ask for it and it's that much better now.
It's way better when you don't have to ask for it. Right. But then if you're obviously at a certain, you know, during everything and you want it, then you ask for it.
Yeah. Yeah, Rick asks to be spanked and he hopes that one of her fingers bends. That's all.
That's good, Dimitri. Thanks, buddy.
Welcome.
How would your ex-partner in your last serious relationship describe you?
Mm. I mean, are you allowed to say you're a dick? I mean, you're probably not with that person because you're a dick and you were going down a certain path. Then you were like, cut it off and shut it off. And, you know, maybe the relationship was good. The sex was bad, or the sex was good and the relationship was bad. You know, I don't know. I mean, what that person would really say about me. I mean, God, it's been so many years since that time. It's hard to remember, but
guys,
you gonna help a brother out?
I don't think I would get that. I think I would get that I was a nice guy, maybe too nice, you know, yeah. And probably a gentleman and nice and all that. But I think probably maybe just not that I didn't care enough, but probably just went along with stuff too much and didn't, you know,
initiate anything. I'm not talking about sex.
I probably avoided like fights just because I didn't want to have them. So yeah, it's more of maybe too nice.
Yeah.
Mine would say I am a buzzkill and overly responsible, I think. I mean, we were just out of college in LA and ultimately she was so far off the deep end and had so many issues that I finally realized and identified that I had to, when she flew home for Christmas back east, I had to call her father, who I'd never met face to face at this point, and say, you cannot let her come back to LA. Like, she needs tremendous mental help. And he, when I gave him the anecdotes, he was like, okay. And he got her, he wouldn't let her come back. She called, lost her mind on me. And I was like, I'm sorry, you'll look back on this and thank me. This is the end of us, unfortunately, but I'm doing what's best for you. You need help in the worst way. So yes, I called your father. I did do that. And
can I ask you a question? Yeah. Do you think any of your neuroticness had any to do with that?
No. Zero. Yeah, like, okay. I mean, she went to boarding school, developed major issues at boarding school.
How'd you let this one get away?
Yeah, exactly.
Answer this. You feel the most loved when, and you feel the least loved when.
I feel the most loved when I'm noticed and things are, I don't mean like tailored towards me, but like when things are like, hey, I got you this stuff. And like, I was just on a trip. I was saying that a couple of weeks ago and I came home and there was like we have flowers kind of in the hallway, right? Where you walk in the hall entryway and typically we kind of, sometimes we don't, but like she had made a big arrangement and she was like, hey, did you see the flowers? I made those for you. Like to me, that's important. And that's what I care about. Or, hey, I know you've been traveling or you've been working hard. Like, why don't you go with your buddies? Why don't you go work out? I'll take the kids. You go to have some your time or go do what you want to do. Like that's important to me. And I forget the second half of the question, but the least, obviously, I mean, not to give an easy answer, but when those things aren't met, like when those aren't, when I'm not being noticed, like, hey, I didn't, like she knows that I'm going to complain because there's a bunch of all the backpacks and the shoes and the, not trash, but like those Amazon boxes are all kind of building up in the, on the hall entryway where it's like, I'm like, dude, just like you've walked past it three times, take it out. Like those are, we're in this together, like living in this home, and we're supposed to actually, we should be on the same page here. Or I hope we are on the same page. I realize we're not always going to be on the same page, but for the most part, we should be on the same page. And that's the part when it bothers me that we're not on the same page. But
I get what you're saying about wanting to be seen. I don't need a thank you, or I don't need a kudos for everything that I do, but I feel like I do a lot in life and with the family and stuff like that. I want to feel like I'm important. I don't want to feel like I'm just someone on the assembly line doing his job. So I like to feel appreciated. And then on the other side, I don't like to feel, I guess it's, again, similar to what you said. I don't like to feel like I'm interchangeable, all right, well, you did this, but if not, it would get done. You know what I mean? Because I think everything that I bring in life or to family or all of that stuff, I think that I bring it to the best that I can. And I think that I bring it in a way that, not many other people can. So if I feel like, just kind of dismissed or not, I have trouble with that.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, where do I begin? Gifts. I love gifts. As we know, they're my love language. I especially like a gift that identifies a need that I did not know I had. So my wife will say, I got you this. Here's why. I think you really need new sunglasses. Like the ones you've been wearing are ratty, or there's this or that, or you need a new belt. Like the belt you wore to whatever the other day, like should look better. You need a brown leather one. Like things that I didn't know I needed. And she'll address that. And like, she's put thought into it. It's not just like, I got you this just because I think guys might like this. It's like, no, you, Ryan, need this. Trust me.
I wanted to rip you for the gift thing, but you actually made sense there because it's showing that she notices stuff that you need and you like and getting it. I get that.
What if you don't like what she's getting you?
She is really, really good at gift giving.
That's cool.
That's good.
She's amazing. She has to be married to you.
Just wait another 10 years.
Okay, next, dinner. My favorite food, like Thai food, is an hour round trip. She'll sometimes text me at work and she'll be like, I went and got you Thai for tonight. Let's have a great
night.
That's
killer.
And I'm like, that's an hour round trip. You went all the way to Malibu to get that. Traffic on the PCH is a nightmare. You did that for me. Like, let's go. This is amazing. Thank you.
There's no Thai food closer than Malibu?
Not that has the Thai that I like. This, the green curry, unreal.
And then she gets home. She's like, oh, honey, it's cold.
Yeah, right. Hey, can you drive up to Ojai and get my lobster roll?
Okay, compliments. Love compliments. And I like to be appreciated being told, like, thank you for working hard for the family. Like, it really is meaningful to us. And when I hear that, it makes it all worth the grind to feel like I'm doing this for someone who really values it.
Yeah, I think that's important.
Okay, guys, if you could travel back in time, what sex advice would you give yourself?
I don't know if it would be advice per se. I think I would probably live a little bit. I would open the doors more. Not be so selective when I was younger. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
is that a fancy way of saying be more promiscuous?
Totally.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. I think I was a little selective, like in high school, college. I limited myself, and I sort of now regret that, or whatever, part of the question.
So if you could do it over, as long as there was a pulse, it was fair game.
Not a pulse. I mean, a pulse would be a little bit extreme, but
so you're into the non-pulse. Necrophilia is a thing. Look, no, everyone has their thing. Let's move on, Rick.
That's what I said. I would explore other options.
Dimitri?
Dimitri's got a good one.
Really, I'm going to follow up your necrophilia stuff. No, I, to be honest, I was not unlike you, Rick, where I was like, I guess I put too much thought into it. And I was like, well, I don't know. And it, part of it was respect. Like, I didn't, if I knew I didn't like a girl, I didn't want to like go ahead and have sex with her because I didn't want that on me. And I didn't want to think right. that I could be. So she didn't need two things of disappointment, you know, sex with me and then me saying I don't want to see her again. But I think I would probably not take it so serious. I'd be like, this is not as big a deal as you're making it out to be. Relax.
Yeah.
You're young. Have fun.
So, like, we are all on the same page here, which is interesting. I mean, for me, I remember my senior year of high school, our assistant basketball coach had just got out of college, and he was an assistant coach. And he said to all of us one day, he was like, can I give you guys some advice? You're all going to college next year. Like, have as much sex as you possibly can. There is never going to be as many females within close proximity, like partying with zero responsibilities ever in your life again. Like, take advantage of that. And
be safe, but do it.
But I went to college and I was dating. I was still dating my high school sweetheart, who was a senior in college, in high school, when I was a freshman in college. I was faithful to her and did not hook up with a single person my entire freshman year of college until 2 weeks before the semester wrapped to go home. And I found out that she had cheated on me and it was all over. So I had been faithful to her my entire year, hooked up with zero people, turned down some people, and then was like, for what? I did this all to be a good person. And like, she screwed me in the end. Like,
yeah, she did.
And it was it's a joke. A complete freaking joke.
That's good.
Ideal romantic vacation.
Well, since I've been going first on a lot of these things, unless Dimitri, you want to go, you got something on the top of your head, buddy?
Go ahead.
I would say, like, on one of those Maldives, Tahiti, killer little bungalow on the beach. Bunch of water everywhere, always jumping in the water, snorkeling, fishing. Hanging out, sitting in the sun, going in the pool, long walks, cruising around, nice restaurants, nice food, not restaurants, but nice food, and just chill. I do like going to big cities and traveling and visiting and going to nice restaurants and stuff and seeing the culture of all those places, and I think that's a super, probably the most valuable thing.
But that's not super romantic because there's a lot of people around.
I don't know. I mean, people, they say Paris is like the most romantic spot, and I've been there, and I never was by myself, so it wasn't romantic. But
I'm going to go not dissimilar to you, but I'm going to take it up a little bit. I'm going to go up the hill in Greece. Nice view. Short walk down to a private beach, same thing, still little restaurants and stuff in the town.
I think.
But I like the water for sure, someplace tropical.
I think the common thing is sort of like alone and being.
Being alone?
Being, no, but like.
Rick just wants to go away with himself.
With your spouse or person or, you know, being with that person the whole entire time. I think that's the, you know, warm spot.
I agree. Warm spot. Cabo is my happy place, as is for my wife. We got married there. But for us, it's okay. We begin first class travel. Nice Bloody Mary on the flight. Okay, Amy, we get there. Poolside. Great UV index. We're tanning. And we're on a romantic vacation, so I'm not being told you shouldn't be frying your skin to this degree. It's really bad for you. You're going to be really wrinkly later in life. I'm just freaking bronzing with that Hawaiian like oily thing. Oh, it's good.
Oh, dude, the four, you can't not have that on.
So yet. Then we're getting into some fish tacos with the guac and the chips poolside. Get into a nice little skinny marg salt on the rim. After that, we got like a good little buzz going. We get into a massage, the hot stones, maybe a little hot stone massage.
I don't think we needed the itinerary, just the overall idea of what you would do.
5 p.m. on the dot, martinis, blue cheese, stuffed olives, and bed at about 8:30 after maybe Shark Tank on a DVR. It's perfect.
If you had to choose a single sex act for an entire year, what would it be?
I mean, I always go to the go-to, the doggy style. That's just so, I love it.
I know this is going to sound like I'm pandering here, but I think probably going down on her.
No way.
For a year?
Dude, I love it.
Dude, you're a maniac. That's
but you're crazy. Not getting off. Like, I get it as that's something that leads to something, but like, you can only do that for a year?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
That's amazing.
Hold on, that's a good point. Usually that leads to something else, so that's a good point.
Right.
Jesus. Wow. That's incredible.
The first answer is the
done.
Final answer.
You sorry, lost sorry, it. Sorry, no, Dimitri. Come on, guys. Don't make me do this.
Yeah, sorry.
No.
Mine would be just right? Like...
Now I'm not having sex for a year. Thanks, everybody.
I mean, sometimes we talk about oral, and it's like, I'd rather... that is the beginning towards having sex. Like, it's most fulfilling for me to actually have sex. Intercourse.